going on down there?
This is WTF at TFW with the final Transformers animated discussion of Season 3, if not the series. I'm Vangelis here with the second half of Endgame. And with me today is a smaller crew of Aaron.
Hello.
And Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
And Omegas Prime.
Oh god, I wish I could follow that. I can't drop my voice that deep.
Let's try it.
Well, you could have tried.
Going, oh my god,
just try it.
I don't know what the
f*** it means. Just this one time.
Oh, try I'm Christian Bale.
Do it.
Thank you.
There, fine.
The fanboys are sated. Because he just friended me on the boards. Your named fanboy user.
That scared me.
Anyway, we're here to talk about Endgame.
Hello, if you're out there.
Oh, yeah. Hiya there. I accepted your friend request.
Creepy guy. Hi.
We're here to talk about Endgame Part 2 on this 2 days before three of the four of us head to BotCon. Hi, Omegas. And, yeah, the episode aired.
There's my humiliation, no end.
Not yet!
No. You made your choice. And
so, we'll keep using the new format. And, yeah, let's see where it goes. I guess I'll just run down the list. Aaron!
Yes?
What's something you want to talk about from Endgame Part 2?
Oh, I'll just bust it out right in the beginning. A spoiler finally happens.
The spoiler did happen.
And then the spoiler happened, and then other stuff happened, and the show was over. No,
well, don't give it away.
Prowl and Jazz do their process over matter thing, the which apparently solves everything, is to hum sequence. And they're pulling in all the Allspark shards all around the city, or the region or whatever, and it looks like they've rebuilt most of the Allspark to power up a shield or something or other, and it pulls all of the Allspark shards, including the one in Starscream's face, killing Starscream, all together,
that,
then to make everything work.
Coming.
Since what?
I did not see that part coming.
No,
oh, yeah,
surprised
me.
That took me by
when
surprise.
He fell cold,
which made me wonder about all the other Transformers that have been created via Allspark shards.
Yeah, Wreck-Gar just dropped dead. After we're all happy
in the middle
they came
of
back.
Out trash.
The Dinobots.
Them scream.
But, so, go through all that stuff. They're getting this together, trying to figure out how to get it to power, but it's not going to be enough. So then Prowl levitates up to it, has this kind of happy, sad, gassy face, and then dies. And then puts a sphere bubble thing around everybody, around the Omega Supreme clone, and blows up, and other stuff that's ahead of it. But yeah, so the spoiler that nobody said was going to happen, then everybody thought was going to happen, then everybody forgot about, finally happened.
And but, I would not be lying to say that up until that point, I'd actually started thinking, I wonder if that spoiler was something that was written for Season 4 that got cut. So I was like, I just can't see it happening anymore. And then it happens, and I was like, no!
But really, how dead is he?
Oh, yeah.
There's that little ghosty thing that comes in and pulls Prime out of the bubble before the big booms.
He's like Alpha Trion dead.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
He did
go all the way to gray, and then we had the scene ripped out of the movie of somebody walking up holding a dead Transformer.
And it wasn't Jazz this time.
Well, no, it was Jazz.
It was Jazz kind of carrying a dead body, which is ironic.
Yeah. That made me laugh so hard watching the thing. Even my wife was chuckling at it. She goes, "That's kind of backwards, isn't it?"
Well, no. See, if it homages the original movie where Prowl dies but Jazz survives it.
Ah, oh, that's going to layers, man. That's going into layers.
It's the onion again.
Well, I would not be surprised to find out that a concept for the fourth season we'll never see is that there would have been a plot involving ghosts of both Prowl and Starscream.
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Especially when, as you said, when Prowl saves Prime, I was just like, yeah, fourth season was so going to have a ghost story. Like, also, I guess this is jumping topics a bit, so I'll just touch on it briefly, but the Allspark shards potentially being made into a Matrix, and in G1, the Matrix had all these dead people sitting in it talking to Optimus Prime, so another avenue for Prowl's ghost to appear in a future season.
Yeah, that was the one...
Let's just pretend there's a future season.
Well, the Matrix thing really caught me off guard as they kind of dropped in the scene... thing in that final scene where Prime steps out of Omega Supreme and to the cheering crowd and whatnot, and around his neck he has the Autobot leader or Matrix of Leadership chain around his neck that looked like it was a really crappy chain, and they didn't take the time to buff out the dents either. Prime was still pretty gimped up at that
point. Don't start coming down on the poor dude's chain.
Oh, jeez. That's his bling.
Yeah, and he's got that and the hammer. Which is kind of overkill, but he's all rubbing it in Sentinel Prime's face.
Yeah. Yeah, Sentinel didn't look happy as it's...
Look at all my cool stuff. I got a jetpack, and I got the hammer, and I got this cool necklace.
And Megatron, and Lugnut, and Shockwave and handcuffs.
Yeah. Hey, Sentinel. Hey. Hey, Sentinel. Sup, Sentinel. Hey. Hey, where you going, Sentinel? Come back.
My favorite part of that scene, though, was the whole crowd cheering them on. It's like, oh, Optimus captured Megatron. Hooray, hooray. Oh, they brought the Protoforms back. Hooray, hooray. Oh, there's Prowl's corpse. Hooray, hooray. Wait, what?
That is true. I was surprised also, they were all smiling during that. It's like, you guys are carrying the body of your dead comrade.
We hated that arrogant prick.
The two-beat pause there when Omega transforms.
Yeah, they're all like, hey, wait a sec. Oh, what the hell? Yay!
That was awesome!
Do it again! Stock footage! We're kind of going all over the place, so I'll move us along.
I'm not surprised.
We can come back to any of that stuff if you guys want to. But, Seth, have you got something in particular you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, we learned a new character trait of Optimus Prime that I found shocking and didn't expect would be a part of his personality. Mm-hmm. But Optimus Prime is a male chauvinist. We found that out.
I couldn't even beat that woman!
Right, when he's like, how can I take on all these dudes when, like, the girl Starscream kicked my ass? And if it was... a dude Starscream that kicked his ass, that would have been cool, but once it was the girl Starscream, then that's messed up. Prime.
Yeah, you gotta rethink some priorities at that point.
I don't know. I think it would be kind of hot myself. Huh? What?
I do like how fembot is now an official term in this show now.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of came out of nowhere, but I was happy to hear it. And poor female Starscream who just like leaves, and that's all we ever see of her again.
Yeah, I thought with the way that there was the setup in the first half that there'd be something in the second half, but
well, she's just sitting around waiting for Transformers to fly by. So when Starscream popped down, she probably started zipping up and then got her spark fragment yanked out.
Yeah, I was hoping that especially when Starscream got offed, I was like, man, there should have been a moment with her just like. You know, they're both getting pulled in by the Allspark thing, and then she just, like, shoves him towards it, and he gets his head ripped open, and she just, like, takes off in the meantime. Betrayal, man. It'd be engaging.
Yeah.
The chauvinist thing is gonna make for lots of good fanfic, I'm sure. Omegas, have you got a point you'd like to talk about?
Let's see here. There's big things and little things. Let's see. I'll do the air quotes, though you won't be able to see them. resolution of Sari's entire origin.
This is where I came from. Bye.
Yeah. Scene end. Wait. I knew I was supposed to come here to do something. Okay. Yeah. You'll cameo in the ending.
I knew there was a reason for me to come. Turns out the reason wasn't very important.
The reason was cool, but it happened off screen.
Yeah, it's very cool. It would have made the whole season worth it. You'll never see it. I like how it's supposed to be like a season 4 teaser, or maybe it was supposed to be I don't know, some beginning of a resolution, but you still don't know how the hell one just floated down from the moon and into Sumdac's lab.
Or if it even came from the moon.
Yeah. That's the only thing I wanted explained. I don't care if she's there, ooh, protoforms. I just wanted, you know, explain the important part first.
Well, the thing is, that protoform also looked different from all the other ones. It was like a little
tiny,
all cutesy, tiny thing, whereas all the other protoforms were just like the stick fuzz.
Yeah.
She was a mini-con.
Yeah, that was one of three things amidst the many things that I would have loved to see tied up. There were three things in particular that I feel really need some kind of clarification, even if it's just via, you know, the DVD extras, or even just via, like, a Twitter post or something. But I'll get to those later. Sario on those, definitely up there.
Oh,
and she went to Cybertron with them, too! She was in the final shot, and I was like, wait, what? You're breaking your dad's heart, you little jerk!
You see, that's what I thought the whole thing about Season 4 was going to be. Okay, you're part Cybertronian, part human, which way are you going to go? You know, battle's over, pick a home. No, I'm here. Bye. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, after that whole thing where she's like, I'm going to the moon, her dad's like, no! She's like, I'm sorry, I have to do this, and he was all sad, and I was like, oh, she's got to come back to him now. And she doesn't, and I was like, wow, you little punk.
And everyone on Cybertron went, oh god, transorganic.
Yeah.
That'd be another easy Season 4 episode, is Sari meeting the entire planet of Cybertron and, like, getting probed by Perceptor and things.
What?
Scientifically! Good god.
With that shoulder thing.
Yes, with the shoulder thing.
Thank God this is over.
Yes, that brings... Oh, hey! Hey, Gog Dog just showed up. Hey, Gog Dog!
Howdy.
Welcome to the final Transformers totally animated oversleep. Thing. Yeah, you know, you were... There was a kid stuck in a tree.
There was. With a cat.
He was like 15, and he couldn't move. He's hanging
up. Is the cat
down.
Okay?
Yep.
Woo! Sweet, nice. All right. We'll just download the sit rep to your brain. All right. Of what we've talked about so far. So, Gog, I guess you can, if you'd like to drop a point, you're next in queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Megatron's plan. I had read a bunch of people complaining, saying that Megatron's overall plan had failed and that he should have just gone and straight attacked Cybertron, and wasting his time on Earth was a ridiculous scenario that really should have never happened. And I think it was actually smart of him to do that. He just... His one mistake, really, was underestimating the Earthbound Autobots, which he really had no reason to do. I mean, a couple times that they had really beat him was mostly a freak, you know, accident or something. Him getting sucked through a space bridge or whatever happened in the... What happened in the first season? Oh, the Allspark exploding.
Yeah. Allspark blowing up.
Yeah, so, I mean, neither one of those times was really the Autobots, you know, defeating him. You know, it's like, he's got these three, you know, brand new weapons of mass destruction, his words, and he wants, you know, this is going to be his, I mean, along with Omega Supreme, these are going to be his, you know, his final play against, you know, defeating Cybertron. All his other plans have fallen through, and... You know, so he literally just created, you know, three out of four of these weapons that have, and they've literally never been tested at all. instead of going straight to Cybertron, realizing there's some fatal flaw, getting defeated, and never having another opportunity again, you know, why not go and test them out on the planet of meatbags? That way you can determine any problem that you haven't foreseen, tweak it, and then begin your assault. So, I mean, he had no idea that Optimus was going to have this jetpack and also, you know, have the freaking Magnus hammer. You know, he almost kind of freaked out at first when he saw it because he thought it was Ultra Magnus. He's like, what? Ultra Magnus is on Earth? So, I think that it was, I mean, from his perspective, he just had several things unfortunate get in his way. But I think the logic behind his plan was solid. Sound.
Well, I also like the idea of Megatron, you know, he doesn't often, like, as a Megatron, he doesn't often seem to fall into any kind of hubris or anything like that. So I like the idea of him actually, like, you know, almost in a way, as some people may have argued, shirking a more logical approach just because he's like, you know what, I am so damn tired of those Earthbound Autobots that I'm going to go and test my big weapons on them because I hate them. They always screw everything up. So I'm going to go kill them.
Yeah, and that also brings to point, too, the fact, you know, kind of the inside joke of Megatron not remembering Optimus's name.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a second that he forgot his name. I think he was just too proud to speak it.
Yeah.
You know, and finally he got to the point to where Optimus Prime was such a thorn in his side, he didn't care anymore. He was willing to risk death to see this dude spark ripped out of his chest.
Yeah.
So, we've been led to believe that even though Megatron is proud, he's still very super intelligent, probably the most intelligent Megatron ever, and cold and calculating. And I don't believe for a second that Megatron couldn't remember this dude's name. I just think that he just had such a chip on his shoulder that he wasn't going to... That was his, you know, his pride play, is letting everybody know, like, I don't even know you. Just get out of my face.
And, yeah. I like that rivalry, because it wasn't a personal rivalry. It was like, you know, a constant thorn in his side. It wasn't like a Warriors thing of one-on-one or anything like that, or anything kind of G1 like that. It was just, like, this one irritating, like, repair crew captain who, over the course of the last couple years, has just more and more gotten his goat. And he's like, you know what? Screw you! I don't know. I like the idea that there was
I think it was almost out of character the way when Starscream took control of the clones and revealed the bombs that he was going to completely ignore the danger to continue fighting Prime, when at every other turn he's always been so calculating and cunning that now he's going to, like, throw everything away, including his own life, just to fight Prime to the finish. Seemed kind of like they broke character on him at that point.
It was a bit of a stretch, yeah, but I do think it can be explained away just by it being like, you know, this is the third time that this what should be a nothing of a washout is, you know, personally standing in the way of all his plans. So Starscream turning on him, the Sentinels turning on him. I think this was finally the time where Megatron just lost it, and he was like, you know what, I've had it. I'm gonna leave here killing someone today.
Yeah.
And
get cranky when you don't kill someone.
At least it also lends a bit more imperfection to him, in that he is cunning and everything like that, and very calculating, but when it happens this many times, this long, from all these nothings of repair crews and whatnot, he's just had it. So he'll break character a little bit just because he's upset. And it kind of worked for me. I did have to think about it a bit, though, and come up with the excuse myself, admittedly. Just thinking of something else to bring up. I guess we could... I'll be the one to say it, because I kind of cut it off when we got into it, but holy crap, that was a fairly grisly way for Starscream to go, getting his brain ripped out.
Yeah.
I know. I felt something there.
And he didn't even get an epic line. All he got was he dropped a bit of a corny one-liner, because he's like, what's this? You idiot ninjas. And then he just falls over dead.
Pretty damn anticlimactic.
Yeah, especially after he, like, put himself back together on the moon. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, he literally pulled himself back together.
Yeah. Very Waspinator moment.
And again, he is a character of hubris, but it was all nice and hubrisy, because he's all like, I'm going to come here and personally, even though I might get blown up, I know I can survive, and I'm going to watch Megatron die. What's this? My brain's coming up.
Yeah, and I had wondered, like, what was going to happen to the rest of the, like, the Allspark fragment created bots,
yeah,
like Wreck-Gar. And,
well, we
but
were,
I figured that they were just, you know, too far out of range, because Prowl had made the point that he couldn't pull any more in. And I figured, we know a lot of them are at, like, you know, Dinobot Island and other places, and I figured that, you know, maybe because the Allspark exploded in the city, you know, most of the fragments were located in or just immediately outside the city, and since a lot of the bots that were created by the Allspark are, you know, on Dinobot Island or further away, that they were just outside of his range.
Yeah,
so he probably pulled in a majority of the Allspark fragment since it did explode in the city, but I figured that was an easy way to explain it away, and it made sense because of Prowl's comment.
And it makes it a bit less morbid.
Yeah, I didn't even think about range. I was thinking that they pulled all of them in.
He would have made a comment that he couldn't pull any more. So that insinuates that there are some that didn't get pulled in.
And Starscream was really close to them. Like, he was just a couple blocks away. And it still kind of yanked him forward a bit before it pulled it out of its head. Or pulled it out of his head.
Please let Weird Al live. I mean,
yeah,
Weird Al live.
That'd just be so sad if Wreck-Gar was sitting there happily giving garbage out to children, then just keeled over dead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, well, I think the indignity of how Starscream went down just kind of lends to that theory of if there was a season four, there would be more to it.
Yeah.
Well, like, you can't just get rid of Starscream. He's too much of an A-list character in Transformers to just be done with.
Yeah. Well, that's like we'd mentioned before GogDog got here. To me, at least, and to a couple of us, I guess, it looked very clear that the whole story idea of Starscream's ghost and Prowl's ghost were very likely Season 4 candidates.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I knew that. I was like, wow, you know, Prowl, you know, finally he just, you know, turns into such an interesting character, and it kind of felt like the whole thing was leading up to Prowl dying, and I'm like, I got the feeling that Prowl was going to turn into, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi of animated in a way.
Yeah.
But then I was also thinking, and this isn't anything against Derek J. Wyatt at all, but I know he had made he's made the comments of he hates quote-unquote magic Transformers, and I was just wondering, like, what kind of loophole in his logic did this fit into? Which is fine. I mean, I'm not knocking him at all. But I'm like, you know, he says he hates magic Transformers, but you know, Allspark ghosts are fine with that.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
it'll be interesting to ask him that.
That's probably
well,
a Marty
the humming. As they were humming during the processor over matter, that created a vibrational resonance field that was in tune with the frequency of the energy signature of the Allspark crystals that caused a negative polarity, which caused them to then attract to themselves and reform. So it's not wizardry of any sense, it's just science.
Obviously.
It's tachyon particles.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. It's always the tachyons.
It's those goddamn tachyons. I guess let's run through the list in a different order this time. Start off with Omegas.
I thought Shockwave was kind of out of character in this episode.
Yeah, I kind of got the...
Yeah.
He kind of... And I was sad to see it. He kind of underwent the typical, almost anime-style thing of he's an unstoppable force until he joins the main cast. And then he kind of gets dulled down a bit.
I can beat Ultra Magnus. Now I'm going to get taken out by Bumblebee and Bulkhead.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Well, I like how he reverted back to Long Arm.
That was
cool. Hey, guys, you wouldn't beat up your old buddy now, would you? Would you?
That's buddy? Pure desperation, man. Mm-hmm. It would have been funnier if
the Long Arm was purple.
It was a purple Long Arm, funnier. Too, so it makes...
Was he?
It makes the purple Long Arm on the toy cannon, yeah.
Huh, I thought it was.
Because previously,
gray,
when he was talking to RC, he turned into gray Long Arm, but this time he turned into a purple.
Right.
It would have lent itself more if he said, dude, I'm the one that put your legs back on, remember? You know, good times.
Good times, man. What are you going to let those good times go to waste now over what, you know? I just killed a couple people. Is that what your friendship's worth, a couple people?
Yeah.
See, it wasn't,
well,
it wasn't even just like...
I thought he could have played it off. I thought he could have played it off like, hey, this is my actual self, and I've been possessed by Shockwave, and if you destroy Shockwave, you destroy me too, and you gotta help me out, you gotta save me.
Don't destroy me, man.
What was
that?
Double, triple...
You're not...
Change your back cross... Come on. I've forgotten who I
You're
am.
Not fooling
who am I
me.
Really?
You're not fooling me, Green Goblin. I mean, Long Shockwave.
Green Goblin.
See, it wasn't even just that, though. I mean, the first part of the episode, the first time we see him, he's still trying to crack the code out of RC. And then we see him, he's left RC out in the middle of the moon while he waits for the Autobots to sneak in. How long was he waiting there for that?
he
could have been there for hours.
Sitting there rubbing his hands like, this is going to be the best plan ever.
That's a sign of a good ambush.
Boom, up, I'm going to go, boo! Patience. And they're all going to be surprised.
And yeah, thank God they transwarped in at just the right angle to not see him.
We've been planning.
Yeah,
there's nothing forcing that angle. They could have walked in from any direction.
He'd been researching. Whenever they showed up on the moon, they always showed up in that spot, right? So he's all like, "I'm gonna set this up nicely, so that you know I can catch him unawares, and I can make him say my name."
He could have been crouching down behind some cover, and then when they appeared, he could have snuck around the back. Don't try to make Shockwave all lame. Shockwave is awesome.
I will stand up for that man. Damn it.
He set a trap, and they, like flies to the web, they walked right into it. He sprung his trap.
Those foolish...
Like an expert...
Those foolish do-gooders.
Like a badass.
Hell yeah.
Would have beaten him if I had a hallway full of compressors.
If I could have trapped them in some kind of compressor trap, this all would have been child's play. Seth, have you got another point you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. When Sari gets all upset when Prime tells her that she can't come. I was like, oh, here we go again. They're not going to let Sari, and then Prime just shuts her down. It's like, no, I need you to go save your dad. And then she's like, oh. And I was like, hey, that was a good way to play that.
Yeah.
Then just one other really quick one. When the clones of... The Omega Supreme clones go crashing down onto the island. I got all excited, like, here come the Dinobots. Finally, Grimlock versus Megatron. We're going to see it go down.
Then
Megatron flies away, and I was like, son of a bitch!
I
thought the same thing. I was like, finally, we're going to have a season finale that has an awesome Dinobots moment. And what better way to demonstrate that than against the, you know, Omega Supreme clones, and then they just kind of walk into the ocean. So
the Dinobots are just like, yeah, whatever. We've been screwed over so many times, we're not coming out to play this time. No.
No, you drew us too badly last time. We're not coming.
Oh, yeah. That was a shame. And I'm sure many other people were looking forward to that to that happening. Oh, well. Season 4.
Never going to happen.
See, the Dinobots themselves are... Dinobots themselves are messed up. They weren't powered by shards. That was all spark energy. So they're still stomping around on Earth.
Yeah.
Yep, forgotten. Lost and forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh, and...
The Omega clones had...
shards in them, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they were wrecked up. But yeah, that was odd.
I think I realized Aaron and Omegas' problem. He pauses at a weird time. It's like he's on a delay. It's like when you butt heads, he keeps talking, so then you stop, and then he starts talking like 5 seconds later.
We will solve this one day when we...
But yes, the Omega Sentinels had all spark fragments in them.
Yeah, it was odd how they didn't get theirs sucked out by the processor over matter shtick.
I figured that they had proper chambers that they were stored in, whereas Starscream's was just kind of haphazardly lodged in his head.
Yeah.
Better containment.
And also not flying straight towards the building and stuff like that. Who's next? Aaron! Drop us a point.
That's left on my list. The quick one was the humor of Jazz asking... Was it Jazz asking? If this building had a bomb shelter. It was some...
Oh, right.
Then some Dax reply of, yes, why? And then he looks and sees the Omega clones coming. Oh, never mind.
He runs off.
And takes off, but...
and that was the
last
we saw.
Really, all I have left are... of some deck, yeah. He's still down in the bomb shelter. Is it over?
Is it over? Sorry. She's gone to Cybertron.
one thing that was interesting was right off the bat we got to see the full transformation scenes that I don't know if we've ever seen all five bots get the epic transform full.
We've seen them throughout
like
the series.
Like the toy transformation out of them. Like right, but it's never been the back to back to back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally
well,
it's the
we only got
the
that
Taz
three of them in the
tornado.
Yeah, it was like Seth
yeah,
said.
We only
it was
got
a
the big epic transformations for those three and Megatron a little bit later.
Mm. Although there was a point brought up by I think it was David Mr. Kal-El Prime who made an excellent point when I was talking to him earlier about how all those stock footage scenes amounted to, you know, just about a minute or so of footage, and you almost wish that minute could have been tacked onto the end as, like, story thread tie-up time. So I liked it as a throwback, but more so than any other thing in Season 3, when I saw all that stock footage, I was just like, no, there's no time! There's no time for this! Endgame Part 2!
My first...
It wasn't...
Yeah, my first viewing I think it's Bulkhead first, and I was like, oh, big Bulkhead transformation, then Ratchet, oh, boy, and then Bumblebee, and I was thinking, wow, really? This is their last episode ever, and they're going Voltron on this one? Come on.
Well, yeah, but how many times had they really used the stock footage? So, you know, you make that extra
It's just that they were
going to
burn
footage,
all that clock.
Use it sometime.
I know, but... I mean, this episode more so than any other. It's just like every single moment of time that felt even the slightest bit squandered just burned for me. I was like, no!
Well, you gotta think here. Supposedly, if this is the final episode ever, there is no season 4, there might have been a lot of little scenes that got cut so that there wouldn't be these huge gaping story holes and loose threads. So that might have just been used to fill the time that those took up.
I guess so.
So they may not have been in there originally at all.
But I... They still burn.
Of course, I might be playing devil's advocate here.
That's very rare, you know? That's rare.
Yeah,
usually you're not playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were judging this episode based on its, you know... Its characterization as the final animated episode ever, Mm-hmm. And I even read on other forums that weren't necessarily Transformers dedicated forums that were saying like, well, that was just a cheesy way to go out, and a lot of people didn't realize, even animated fans just don't regularly post on, you know, TF message boards, that, you know, that wasn't meant to be the series finale. It kind of just got given that role after the fact. So in a lot of ways we're lucky we got as much closure as we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like that last minute scene of the two of them connecting and then next time on the show that won't exist anymore.
Or the end of Reboot.
Oh. Yeah.
Now the hunt begins, and that's the end of the series. Gog, have you got another point you'd like to talk about?
You guys haven't talked about RC yet, have you?
Nope.
Yeah, RC, she's back up. as if the stuff with lockdown had just happened yesterday. She's basically just starting from there. So,
mm-hmm.
no memory loss or anything since she was in a coma.
And I was happy.
I guess that's what happens with a robot coma. You just wake up and say, "Oh, that just happened yesterday. It's the last thing I remember."
About
our business.
She also apparently had like a because she was an intelligence robot. She had like a locked backup of her memory somewhere that they had to pull out using Sari's MacGuffin powers.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, well, you know, if they had this backup hard drive, why couldn't anyone else use that to fix her? But I was like, if we had the human equivalent of the Matrix and a doctor had said, well, I can't fix this person, there's nothing I can do, and all of a sudden it had this mega device speak to you as a doctor and say, look, if you just do this technique, this, 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 and this, then the person will come out of the coma and the doctor does it, and it's like, oh, it's a miracle. So I could understand that, you know, that whatever happened was just beyond their quote-unquote medical means, and then through Sari's MacGuffin power that he basically got a list of instructions and do it. So...
Mm-hmm.
It's something that
I do kind of like.
Kind of funny, but it's you can explain it.
I do kind of like how the device that robbed her memory in the first place is the same thing that brought it back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was recalibrated.
And
it was recalibrated. And it,
well,
it's
I liked
the same
how.
Thing.
I liked how instead of like arguing about like, well, how the hell do you know, like. Ratchet was just like, all right, whatever. Let's try it.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not even going to argue anymore.
You've been the cause of and the solution to most of the problems in the last 3 months, so just come over here and tell me what you got to do.
I did really like, though, that Ratchet, you know, and RC got to have the happy ending. My storybook senses were happy with that. I was glad they didn't have to sacrifice either of them. Especially with the double body count.
Well,
the weird thing about
find out that RC just wants to be friends.
Well, the weird thing about RC was that she wasn't in the ending, so they apparently abandoned her on Earth at some point.
No, she went to be the new teacher bot with Sumdac. She went to go find him in the bomb shelter because he never came out.
Better she's still hardwired into Omega Supreme because. Poor guy can't keep running for anything.
Well, her fate, like many others, I think, will lie happily in the realms of many different fan fictions, and perhaps even a few slash fictions.
Oh.
All of the slash
no.
fictions. Some Dak RC Rule 34.
God.
I live to make you cry, Omegas. I live to make tears roll down your face.
Sweet
God, I'm gonna go set my ears on fire now. Thank you.
I'm just trying to think if there's any other points about the episode I want to drop. Yeah, I don't know. They did a lot of cool things. I'm kind of out of specific points. Does anyone else have any they want to bring up?
We got a little one.
Seth goes first.
Just...
Ah.
So, Prowl and Jazz go to attack one of the Sentinels. Prowl has two lasery swords. Jazz has his lasery nunchucks. They're completely ineffectual. My first thought was, well, they probably would have been able to do it if they had two more Ninja Turtles. They needed a robot with a laser stick and a robot with laser sai, and they totally would have been able to get it done with some pizza.
Cowabunga.
It's what Star, Upper, and Sky Gary were supposed to be for.
Oh, and we saw Sky Gary happened. Finally.
Yeah.
For a second. But we
I don't
saw
think
him,
we
but...
ever saw Diatlas.
No, he was... That yeah. poor dude was probably buried in a crowd shot. Beneath females 1 and 2. If Diatlas rides like that.
That's what the
Omega Supreme
for.
Is finally legally alive again. Because as we saw a few episodes ago, he had a... even Sentinel Prime didn't know. I mean, he knew the Autobots had a ship, and even he didn't know it was Omega. Omega Supreme. And so now, apparently, all the Autobots were basically told, because his existence, that he was still alive, was top secret. So it was actually pretty priceless seeing the expressions on their face when he transforms, and the entire population of Cybertron basically craps their tailpipes all in 1 second, and then break out an amazing cheer. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Aaron, you seem to have a point as well you wanted to bring up.
Yes. Was it just me, or was the Magnus Hammer just non-cooperative up until the very end?
Yeah, you almost wondered.
Prime's lack of training. Because that was the thing with Prime keeping talking to it. I had the confusion of, you know, does this Magnus Hammer have some intelligence to it, or is it just he needs to figure out Prime needs to figure out how to run it. Whatever.
I was waiting for it to pull a Signal Lancer from Galaxy Force and just turn into a tiny little robot, just because, like, you know, you're using me wrong!
Yeah. But, I mean, because in the beginning he couldn't aim the lightning, and then, but then, I mean, you know, he can't do that, but then he decides, hey, I'm going to make a vortex, and then knocks the Omega clones out, destroys one of them. And then again, it looks like he's fighting it up until the very end when Megs manages to survive the last Omega Supreme clone blowing up, and then he just finally is like, alright, I'll kill you, I'm gonna kill you, okay, I'm not gonna kill you. But you thought I was gonna kill you.
I was so torn on whether or not I wanted Prime to just, like, cave Megatron's head in.
Well, no, you can't do that, because then it's a lot harder to bring Megatron back, you know, without a face.
Galvatron! Give him a new a crowned head. Was anyone else thinking that Prime and Megatron were both going to get offed there?
No, I was thinking that Megatron might. I never thought Prime was.
Mm. And how amazingly badass was it of Megatron to survive that?
Yeah, well, if you saw, like, his one armor, or his one arm was completely stripped of armor.
Yeah,
his
but
gun
was
all kind of messed up, too.
He was still just, you know, through all that, he was just like, I'm going to pull your face off, you lousy! And then he just gets, like, backhanded with the hammer.
I thought the fact that Prime was so... He was just cracked and destroyed. I mean, Prime looked rough. Mm-hmm. And when he showed up on Cybertron looking like that, he had a giant crack going down his face.
Yeah.
I was like, that is badass.
Yeah.
Well, what I noticed was it was the same arm that got blown up in the first episode, except the explosion was like 10 times the size, but he kept like most of his arm this time. He's apparently gotten very durable in 3 seasons.
Megatron also had some great lines, like destroy everything that isn't me, or is
yeah.
His big line that I loved was when he gets there, and in this very calm voice, he's like, get away from my weapons of mass destruction!
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. He's like, it's this guy again. He's gonna break my new stuff. Get away from it! I'm gonna cut your head off. And he gets a hammer in the face. Was there anything else anyone else wanted to bring up? No?
Apparently not. All right.
Let's do it then.
I just have a closing thought.
Overall, this season finale, as a season finale and potentially as a series finale, two separate things. Let's deliver some thoughts on it. I'm going to go first. I thought that as a season finale, it was great. And if it's a series finale, it's unfortunate. But it could have ended worse. And it, I mean, as a season finale, I do think it was solid. Like, to be very specific there. And really, and I'm going to quote myself, the most important thing is, no matter what happens, animated will live on forever in each and every one of us who look back on its wonderful stories and its little universe, and maybe it'll come back again someday through the power of our courage and hard work. Even if it's 12,000 years in the future. So I'll run down the list, get some thoughts on just the end of this whole thing, the end of the series, end of the season, and then maybe a bit on the end of the series. Aaron, what do you think?
I'm kind of with you. As a season, it's not bad. It wraps up the threads from the season and kind of ends with a good jumping off point for the next season. As a series, not so much. Because of the threads that it leaves open for the next big air quote season, I would have liked something a little bit more, you know, maybe just have a line of, or a minute or two dedicated to them back on Cybertron, and now that Megatron's captured, we'll have a new golden age, and hey, since you've got the hammer, you know, you got the big job.
That minute or two that would potentially equal the same length as all the stock footage transformations?
Maybe.
Gog, what about you?
I think as a season finale, absolutely wonderful. You know, especially, you know, the whole foreshadowing of Endgame Part 1, where you have all these loose ends tied up, it really showed that, you know, at least the ongoing story arc of them versus Megatron was going to come to a conclusion. It makes me wonder, you know, who is going to be the main villain for season 4? Because, you know, it was planned. It was in pre-production. At the very least, they had some stuff written. Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder, like, who are they going up against? Or was it going to be just more of, like, individual stories rather than an ongoing plot? Or maybe they were going to set up a new ongoing plot that wasn't apparent in the beginning, but who knows? You know, maybe we'll find out one day. I really hope so. As a series finale, I am satisfied with what we got. I think that the season 3 finale was a good, I don't know if maybe they meant it as a possible series finale. They wrote it that way, you know, just in case season 4 never happened. Either way, I'm happy with the closure that we got. The fact that an entire season was in pre-production, and then it got canned with the possibility of season 3 being the series finale, never really, you know, being concrete. Mm-hmm. Compared to what we got, the possibility of, you know, an ending of Megatron just getting away at the end was more likely than what we actually got. Yeah. So, I am very happy with what we have. Of course, you know, I mean, I love animated. I have, you know, it's come to be one of my favorite pieces of Transformers fiction ever. I'm heartbroken that we may never get anything else, period. I'm sure BotCon will answer, you know, some of these questions. I'm actually very much looking forward to hear what is going to be said on the matter. I'm trying to, you know, I'm very much prepared that they may just, you know, drop the boot and say, that's it, no more. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a shred of hope that with how much love season 3 has to be by far the most popular season. I'm also curious to know, like, what the ratings looked like. I know the first couple episodes, I think Derek J. Wyatt had commented, at the very least on Transwarped, that ratings were very good. It makes me wonder if any of that will play into any future anything, you know, even being a comic book or something like that. But,
yeah,
you know, of course I'm sad. I'd like something to happen, but, you know, I think if it ends, You know, at the very least, we got the majority of the plot taken care of, and we also have enough loose ends that will, you know, maybe bring us some BotCon fiction or something like that. Instead of, I mean, who knows? Maybe instead of BotCon fiction, us getting like another alternate, you know, reality of another G1 story, maybe we'll actually get some future or some in-continuity animated stuff. You know, that the you got to think, I mean, yeah, we have loose ends out there that are kind of sad they didn't get taken care of, but it also leaves open some cool possibilities down the road for that stuff to get handled
and
instead of just being a wacky alternate take on it.
There's also another avenue that remains open and fairly definite is season 3 DVD extras. They could even do up some kind of this little narrative, like a little spoken 1-minute thing. I don't know. It's another avenue, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I just want to take the time, you know, if anybody from the show is listening, I just want to say thanks. I mean, you guys did a great job. You have really captured, I think, Transformers fans, at least, you know, the ones that had an open mind from the beginning and, you know, not the weirdos who just say, I don't like the art style, I'm never going to give it a chance, period, and I'm going to let everyone know on the message boards every 5 minutes exactly how I feel. You know, with that small minority, I think you guys as a writing team and the design team have captured, you know, Transformers fans in a way that we haven't seen in a while. And I just want to say thanks. You guys have done an outstanding job. Marty Eisenberg, Derek Wyatt, everyone else who, you know, isn't, you know, on the forefront of the credits every episode. I just want to say thanks. You guys really knocked it out of the park, and I hope that your ability to bring us some fiction isn't, you know, completely over with. But even if it is, I think what you guys accomplished is 100% valid and terrific. And, you know, you guys set out to make something and you made it. So, good job.
Yep, definitely. And Seth, how are you going to react to these conjoined endings?
Well, echoing everybody else, and what I have written in my notes reads, a good ending for a season, but only in... that's not how I wrote it.
No!
My tongue fell. A good ending for a season, but only an okay ending for a series. So, I'm with everybody else in that regard. Some of the questions Gog brought up, like, kind of what I would have had expected to see in a season 4 was, like, the whole ghost story kind of thread, and then there's still plenty of Decepticons running around out there. We never saw Blitzwing in these last couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some sort of a breakout attempt, like maybe mid-season Megatron gets freed. But we will never, ever know. The only avenue for any sort of additional information that we will ever get on season 4, and I'm not saying this because I know, I'm saying this because this is my educated guess, would be if stuff leaks out, maybe Eisenberg or Wyatt leaks out some information of like, oh, this was stuff we were kicking around, or like Vangelis said in the DVD, maybe there'll be something in the DVD. But anyone that's, I just snuffed that candle out. If you're holding that candle, hoping that we'll get some BotCon animated stuff or comic books or anything, it's not going to happen. It's over. So, don't hold your breath.
End of the road, man. End of the road.
There's a cliff. It's Thelma and Louise just going over the edge. It's done.
End of the road, man.
So, it's too bad because I went into animated. My first animated thoughts at all were at that 07 BotCon panel when they revealed the very first character sketches. I wasn't into it. I couldn't care less. I didn't like it. First season, I was kind of, I'm not digging it. Second season, started okay. I'm seeing where this is going. Third season, I thought it was great. So, it really won me over time. I think that says a lot about the series, because every other series that we've gotten since what was it, Car Robots. Well, they renamed it in the U.S., but
RID.
Ever since then, every series, Cybertron, Armada, I never finished those shows. I, like, would watch five episodes and be like, done, don't care, dumb, and animated won me over going through. So, good job, guys, and hopefully everyone gets work doing something cool in the future.
Very much so. Omegas, you're last on the list.
Oh, that leaves me in a difficult position here.
I'm going to talk after you because I forgot to mention two things, but you're still last on the list for this thing.
Mm. Okay, as a season ender, fairly good episode. There's still some resolution there I would have preferred, but it seemed like it would have set up so many things for a fourth season that would have changed things up quite radically from the last few. You know, the Matrix being introduced and Sari on Cybertron, and Jazz and RC apparently joining in with the Earthcast. But if this is it, if this is like the whole series finale, then it's, to me, it's a grave disappointment. I mean, I've always been on board with the animated because it's really the first time since Beast Wars that they took such a risk with the Transformers franchise. They, you know, not only the brand new style, but to reintroduce characters in new ways, like Prime being the young leader instead of being in command, and Decepticons being so much more powerful than they normally are. It took a lot of chances, and they all paid off. I mean, it's probably right behind Beast Wars as far as my all-time favorite series. And to have it come to an end like this, it deserved so much better than it got. I mean, there's just so much between not only like Wreck-Gar and the Constructicons, you got Skywarp, Thundercracker, the Dinobots, Soundwave. So many characters that are just left off into space, and there's just no explanation, there's no reason for it. And I would have liked to see more done. There's just so many things that I enjoyed about the series. It's very upsetting to see that it had to go out like that. And it deserved a lot more than that. I mean, at least extend it by one episode. Give me like some like big resolution at the end. Like, if there wasn't stock footage in this one, you had time for like a busted up Magnus to greet them when they got back and proclaim, "I was wrong, you are a hero," you know, and that would have wrapped the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we didn't even get that, which saddens me.
I agree. That goes into what I want to talk about afterwards, but did you have any other thoughts you wanted to drop on it?
I do like the idea of BotCon continuing this, but only if it means I can still have RC and Rodimus as toys without paying $200 a pop.
Oh no, no, they're going to be in the O10 exclusive box. Didn't you hear? Didn't you hear?
No.
Didn't you hear? Welcome to Nightmare World.
Killed my dreams, man.
Well, I have two last things I want to drop that they're kind of random, but I really wanted to share them since this is the last chance for a little while. First would be, I'm wondering if anyone had the same thing that me and a couple other of my friends had, where you're watching the episode, you're like, man, this is awesome. Man, this is awesome. They arrive on Cybertron, there's all the heroic music, all the revelry, it's like, man, this is awesome, yeah! And then at the last second, you glance at the time code, then you hear that last bit of music, like, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun, and then you kind of half get up out of your chair going, like, oh, no, wait a second! And then it's over. And, like,
yeah.
Like, the ending was almost abrupt, and it was so abrupt, it was, like, literally, just me and a couple other people all shared the same thing, like, we were just getting up out of our chair, like, no, 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 hold on, wait, no, hold on! And it was done. that was it. Also, I have a little thing I want to share, which is my holy trinity of plot points I'd love to see cleared up with the DVD somehow. There are many, many, many plot and character threads left over that could be run into stories and things. But there are three that I feel we really need cleared up, not just for series closure, but also for some Season 3 closure. Like, additional Season 3 closure. The big one, of course, being where did Sari come from? Arguably, that could be Season 4 stuff, so I am kind of biased with my knowledge of reality here. But that's one thing. Number two would be a scene with Ultra Magnus. You know, we know, is he, like, eternally comatose? Did he recover? What does he think of what's going on? And we need the Ultra Magnus input. And finally, as much as we've talked about there being resolution on this, the final scene served to show that there wasn't. We really need to have one more Optimus Prime Sentinel Prime scene. After all this has been said and done.
Right.
To just finally, all this having happened, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to just shake hands? Is Sentinel going to say, I'm never going to let up on you? You know, is Prime going to say, I'm never letting up on you? You know, those are the three things above anything else that I would love to have cleared up somehow. And that's my holy trinity.
Well, if it was up to me, and it's never going to be, but if I got to decide how Season 4 was going to go, I would have had Sentinel completely lose his mind and become a Decepticon.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
But it's never going to happen, so...
I'm hesitant to say never nowadays when we have something where it's like 10 years later you can get a little bit of added fiction, even if it sucks, through a comic book, i.e. Beast Wars. Just don't think in the short term, think in the lovely eternity of the long term, is my recommendation. So unless anyone else has anything to add, I think that this puts a cap on our last animated discussion for the time being.
Right. I think I would like the ending better if there's just like one little change, and that is if when the camera panned over past Sentinel, the little wings were gone from his insignia. Is that, oh,
little touch.
That would have made me so happy.
You know what? Little touch. I would have liked if they panned over and there was just a little Vangelis sitting in the background. Sorry, no one else said it, and I know that someone would want to say it, so. I had to steal the thunder.
Because someone made the resource section with that.
Whatever do you mean? I guess,
wish I was a resource.
I'm a living resource, baby. Yeah, many great things. Matt Youngberg, I still believe in you who believes in me. Derek, lovely man. I hope you like your hamburger. Marty Eisenberg, best Sumdac impersonator ever. Enjoyable series, and I hope somehow something similar to that will lie in the future. Whether or not it's animated, if it's a new series, this is the bar that has been set. So, go to, creative teams. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, that's been WTF at TFW with the discussion of Endgame Part 2. Say goodbye, everyone, for the final time!
Goodbye, everyone, for the final time.
Alright, now go back to your patty, and we're gonna get the gas going, and, your services have been enjoyed.
Again, I can't follow that.
Da-dun-dun-da-dun!